team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 19 through 25. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, Paul, or Saul, who was going to Damascus in order to arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem, have them persecuted in front of the Sanhedrin, either put them in prison or have them beaten or even killed. He was a bad dude. So he goes off now to Damascus. On the way to Damascus, who does he meet? The resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ himself on the way. At that moment, the glory of the Lord shone so brightly that it blinded Saul. And he falls to the ground. And they have this interaction, and he names Jesus Lord. Jesus identifies himself. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he gives Saul instructions. So the guys that are there around Saul help him to the rest of the way to Damascus. Now, Damascus is a walled city. He goes into Damascus on Straight Street to a man named Judas's house. And he goes there and he waits for the Lord's instruction. Last week we met a man named Ananias, who the Lord went to and told Ananias to go to Saul. Now Ananias had heard how Saul, man, this guy was bad. He was after Christians all over the place. But the Lord tells Ananias, he's a believer now. I have plans for him. Go lay hands on him so that he may receive his sight. He's converted. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. And Ananias did that. And Saul was saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and baptized. And the scripture we left off last week is that he stayed there in Damascus, hanging out with the disciples for a while. So we take a snapshot today of something that Saul does, and right around that time, right after he's saved. If you have your Bibles, Acts 9. If I had to term this sermon anything, it would be walking with Jesus in tough places. Walking with Jesus in tough places. Walking with Jesus in tough places. I think we can all identify with that to some degree. In our walk with Jesus, we know there are times that, man, we get in some rough spots. Sometimes it's the things that we've done. Sometimes it's things other people have done. And sometimes it's just life. It just happens. It's there, and we have to go through it. We see a little bit of what Saul has to go through in this faith walk with Jesus that he has now. So we begin in verse 19. So when Saul, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Lord, he is the Son of God." And all those hearing continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they were all also watching the gates day and night, so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. Let's pray together. Father God, as we look at your word, immediately as Saul is converted to Christianity, he starts going through tough times because he is a witness for you. Father, today I pray that you remind us as believers we are witnesses for you. And God, that there are tough times that we go through, regardless of what life throws at us, what conditions we go through in life, we are still to be a radiant beam for you in this dark world. Give us encouragement and strength through your word today. Help us walk out of here, Lord, with a new insight or maybe a reminder of where we should be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, conversion to Jesus Christ can be costly. It can be costly, especially in countries and areas where Christianity is the minority. Think about it. Missionaries know this all too well. You speak to a missionary who's been in certain countries in the world and where Christianity is the minority, man, they know it is difficult to walk this journey with Christ. Matter of fact, back in 1991 in the country of Somalia, there were 150 native believers. That's it. We'll have more believers here this morning in the two services than they had in the whole country of Somalia, 1991. The country was 99.9% Muslim. Those 150 faced persecution, even by death. Matter of fact, by 1998, there were only four of those 150 believers still alive there in the country of Somalia. Sadly, most of their deaths were related to those believers being connected to some Western Christian. Maybe as a church service that a Westerner had gone over and was preaching at. Maybe it was them being connected in or employed by some Western relief agency that was Christian. One of the two, the fellow townspeople, those people who were around them, their neighbors, would take their lives because they left being a Muslim to follow Christ. It's difficult to walk with Christ at times. So here in the early church is what we're covering. There was a cost for believers living for Christ Jesus. And Saul quickly found out what persecution felt like on the receiving end. Remember, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was the one going around in Jerusalem bringing Christians out, men and women, sending them to jail, having them beaten, confiscating their property, or even having them killed. Now he's on the receiving end of it. Because Saul is now a Christian and he has to walk with Jesus in some tough places. The first thing we want to see today is that we need fellowship with other believers. Because this is what we pick up from the text this morning. In verse 19 says, for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. So for several days, he's there in Damascus. So the immediate implication of Saul's conversion was his desire to fellowship with other believers. Listen, when you come to know Christ, you know what your desire is? Not to go hang out with the same people that get you in trouble all the time. Your now desire is to hang out with God's people because you want to know what it looks like to live a Christian life. And that's why it disturbs me when somebody says they're a Christian, but they don't want to go to church. here Saul's example is that, listen, he was a killer of Christians. He gets converted. What's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to hang out with the very people he was looking for to kill. He actually wants to fellowship with them. His desire to fellowship with other believers. Why? Because he wants to learn from them. He wants to be discipled. He wants to know what it's like to be a believer. He wants to learn more about Jesus and to tell his fellow Jews that Jesus is the Christ. So we're not given a direct timeline here by Luke, who wrote and recorded the book of Acts for us. No, but we learn through Saul's testimony. Remember, Saul is Paul. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Greek name. So most of the New Testament, it's all written by Paul, same man. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. And it gives us a little more insight what went on with Saul after his conversion. So Saul spent many days with the disciples there, several days there with the disciples in Damascus in order to get to know them, in order to be strengthened. Remember, he'd been out without food. He had just met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I'm sure they consumed a lot of energy, a lot of spiritual energy, physical energy, mental, all of it there. And he needed to be replenished and refreshed. Because Paul's later writings, man, we can see his growth. So something happened there because he spent some time with the disciples, but then he took a sabbatical. In other words, he went off somewhere. Luke doesn't record that for us, so we have to look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. Paul describes his time of conversion and immediately after that. Paul writes this, he says, "But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased," verse 16, "to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas," who's Peter, "and stayed with him 15 days. So Saul spent a little time getting to know the disciples there at Damascus. Now, Saul is a Jewish rabbi, but he didn't go to the Jewish rabbis for acquaintance. Man, he just wanted to hang out with believers. He wanted to hang out with the church. He wanted to hang out with people who are like-minded and like faith of him now. Only days later, after Saul's conversion, he goes to Arabia. And this is the peninsula of Arabia where Mount Sinai was located. Bishop Lightfoot said it this way. It's kind of an old English, but I'll do my best. He, meaning Saul, was attracted thither by a spirit akin to that which formerly had driven Elijah to the same region. Standing on the threshold of the new covenant, he was anxious to look upon the birthplace of the old covenant. That dwelling for while in seclusion in the presence of the mount that burned with fire, Mount Sinai. He went ponder over the transient glories of the ministration of death and apprehend its real purpose in relation to the more glorious covenant which was now to supplant it. Saul was a rabbi who knew the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. Where did the law come from? God gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai. He was very familiar with that. Now he knows the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. What we see here, what theologians believe, is that Saul left Damascus, went 468 miles south down to Mount Sinai to see, to make this connection between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. How all the things he had learned as a rabbi from the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, how Jesus fulfilled them all. And he went there in seclusion for 2 to 3 months for God just to work on him, for God to do a work in Saul's life. How Jesus Christ fulfilled all the things that he had been taught. You see, he had been looking for a Messiah to come to Israel like all the other Jews, who was going to be this war hero. And here Jesus come that wasn't a war hero. He was quite different. Their idea of what Messiah was wrong. Jesus is coming on the scene. That's God's plan, to forgive men their sin and make peace with God. So Saul's time in Arabia was likely 2 or 3 months. He didn't preach. Saul says in Acts 26, verse 20, says, I declared to them at Damascus first. So he's in Damascus for a couple of days. Then he leaves and goes to Mount Sinai, spends some time with God in seclusion, and then goes back to Damascus. Because he took time for the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make these beautiful, miraculous connections in Saul's life of the law and prophets in the Old Covenant and Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. Man, it's a reminder for us as believers. Catch it. It's a reminder for us that we too need to set aside times that we just get away. You need to get away. I need to get away. We need to get away from all life's everyday stresses and all the responsibilities that are piled upon us in order to refresh our mind, refresh our body, refresh our spirit, refresh our soul. We need some God breaks in order for us to question, in order for us to quieten our soul and spend some time with God. None of us are exempt from that. Man, we need to go somewhere where it's just us and God. You know what we do most time on vacation? We have a list of go see this, go see this, and go see this. We fall into this trap of, while we're over here, I'm going to go see this mountain and this waterfall and this and that. And then we come back from our vacation more tired than when we went. We're exhausted because we tried to do this whole thing in our week or 2 weeks, whatever we had, maybe in 2 days, whatever it was, that we went away to rest. We actually went away and were more busy on the vacation than we were at home. I've said it and you've said it too. I need a vacation from my vacation. Man, can we learn something from Saul here? Go away for a while. Maybe even just a day. Cut that cell phone off and just chill. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in God's creation. Because our responsibilities are still waiting when we get here. But man, we're going to be a little different. We're going to be a little more energized. Just when Saul arrives back at Damascus from Arabia, we pick up in verse 20. So there's a break between verse 19 and verse 20 of about 2 or 3 months. It's not that Saul immediately came to Jesus and immediately started preaching. I would never recommend that. I would never lay my hands on anybody that does that, because it's not good. No, Saul took a break there. So in verse 20, there's 2 or 3 months' time. In verse 20, he picks up. And we learn something here. If you're doing a number one, number two, the second thing is that Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out. You know what religion does? Religion just brings a lot of stuff on the outside, external things. It may be sentimental to us. It may get us in a little way, but it doesn't do anything on the inside. Only Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit does work on the inside. That is revealed on the outside. Verse 20 says, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Boy, that's a change. And all those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name? And he had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. What a change has happened in Saul's life. He comes to know Christ. He goes away for a couple of months. The Lord works in him. He comes back. Man, he's preaching Jesus. The Holy Spirit had really matured Saul in faith and knowledge and wisdom here. He met Jesus just a few months before, face to glorious face on the road to Damascus, and he knew this Jesus. He knew that this Jesus had died on the cross. He had firsthand knowledge of it. He knew that he'd been buried in a tomb, and now he realized that he had been resurrected 3 days later. And this Jesus is the Lord. This Jesus is the Creator. He is the Savior, the Messiah. He is the Christ. And Saul, man, God worked on him on the inside. It was only the Holy Spirit who could break that hardened heart that Saul had. Think about it. He was a part of the Sanhedrin when he voted to kill Jesus for blasphemy. He was on the Sanhedrin, that council, when the apostles were there in the temple and they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, and they were rounded up and brought before the council, and they voted to flog them. They called it skinning. It was not quite the beating that Jesus went through, but it was with a lighter whip, and what it did was rip the skin off their back all the way down to the back of their legs. So he was there to vote for the apostles to go through that. Saul was on the council when Stephen was there, and he preached that long message there in front of the Sanhedrin, convincing them and making the connection between the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled the law. Saul was there, and he voted to put Stephen to death. Matter of fact, he went out there, and he supervised it, and he held the coats of all the men who were throwing stones at Stephen. He'd heard the gospel at least 3 times there. Saul heard the gospel those times, and then he meets brilliant, radiant, glorious King Jesus on his way to Damascus to arrest and persecute Christians. Saul had the gospel introduced to him, and then he meets Jesus face to face. He had much to say to these Jews who were bound and determined to follow Judaism and reject Jesus Christ as Messiah. Here he was right among them at one time. Now he's a saved, born-again believer. Saul, a rabbi of high authority, coming from the big church in Jerusalem. He knew the prophets. He knew the law. And now he knows the gospel. And verse 21 says, and all those hearing him continued to be amazed. Why? Because now Saul could put together what they knew about the law and the prophets, and he could easily bring it over to Jesus. How Jesus fulfilled this and fulfilled that and fulfilled that. He is Messiah. Saul kept proclaiming to the Jews that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, it's how did Saul get into the synagogues? Well, the Jews saw Saul as a visiting rabbi from Jerusalem. So in Judaism, a visiting rabbi has access. He gets invitation to go to the synagogues to bring out some lessons about the law or the prophets from the Old Testament. So here Saul was this trained by Rabbi Malil, one of the greatest of all rabbis. He was his disciple. He's coming from the big church, the big temple there in Jerusalem. He's here. Let's invite him over. They did. And what did he do? He didn't come with just the insight of the law of the prophets. He came bringing the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, and putting Jesus on the center of it. Man, that wasn't what they were expecting the visiting rabbi from the big church to come down and do. They were expecting to learn some new insights to help them in their walk of trying to earn righteousness on their own with God. And Saul comes in there and says, you can't do it. Jesus did it all for you. He's our Messiah. He is the Son of God. Listen, holding that view, we don't think much about it here in America, but holding that view in the early days of the church, man, that'd get you killed. That'd get you killed real fast. So for Saul to enter into a Jewish synagogue in Damascus and preach Jesus, that wasn't safe. Because this is the same Saul that once ravaged Christians in Jerusalem without mercy. And now he's speaking of the grace and the mercy shown to him through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the reality of conversion. The Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changes us from the inside out. So when a person comes to know Christ, there's some things that change immediately, and some things take a little while, but there's progress degree by degree by degree of that transformation and change, because you no longer want to do the same old things that you used to do. You begin to lose your appetite for those things, and that's a sign of growth inside of you that begins to change everything about you. Religion only affects the outside. You just try to be a better person, but you're still lost on the inside. You're not changed. You're just doing more religious stuff, trying to get your way to heaven, and it's not working. And it will never work. Because you're trying to go around what Jesus did on the cross for you. You're trying to do it all yourself, and you're gonna die and go to hell. You're wondering, why? I tried real hard. I was a religious person. So, you see, Saul was a religious person. And he thought if he kept all the law and all the prophets, that he'd be righteous before God. And Jesus showed him that he's not. Jesus changes us from the inside. Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus, by proving that Jesus is the Christ, proving to them that he's the Christ. That word proving there in the Greek is sumbibazo. That's a nice one. Is it easy just to say proving? It's sumbibazo. It means to unite, to bring together, to instruct, to prove, to unite or put together or knit together. To put together in reasoning and draw conclusion is to teach, instruct, is to grasp a truth by intertwining ideas needed to get on board. Saul patiently with these Jews, he patiently, concisely taking the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets, and proving to them that Jesus is Messiah. He took what they knew and was pointing it right to Jesus over and over and over again. Talk about a transformation in a man's life. And they were amazed that Saul, this persecutor of Christians, is now preaching about this Jesus that he sought to kill believers. The third thing we see from here, you know, it's okay to walk away from unfriendly and unhealthy conflict. Verse 23 says, when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Verse 24, but their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. I don't know about you. I have some rough days being a pastor, but nobody ever tried to kill me at the front gate. I don't know about you. That hadn't happened to me yet. So Saul, man, he preaches, he teaches, he ministers in Damascus for about 3 years. Now, we're not told how many people come to faith in Christ because of his teaching and preaching and ministering through this three-year period. But what we are told at is that the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Obviously, there was enough people that were coming to Christ in faith that it was affecting the synagogue. It was affecting Judaism. They were losing people. They had a big crowd on Saturday, and now it's starting to get very small. And now Paul's teaching and preaching, there was a bigger crowd growing over there. So they needed to get rid of that guy. We're told that the Jews plotted together to do away with him. And what a change of events in Saul's life, huh? Think about it. He was once the hunter of Christians to persecute, to imprison, or to murder them. Now he is the hunted by the Jews. They want to murder Saul because of the faith in Jesus Christ. Yet Saul got word of the Jews' plot against him. Man, these guys are serious. They're on the hunt for Saul. They wanted to assassinate him. He went from assassinating Christians to now he's wanting to be assassinated. People are looking for him to assassinate him. Verse 24 says, they were watching the gates day and night so they might put him to death. One theologian said that the Jews had gotten with the king of that area and the governor over the city. And so they had soldiers waiting there at the gates, waiting for see when Saul would come in or go out, watching for him. Not to invite him over for lunch, but to assassinate him on the spot. The Jews in Damascus, listen, they did not want Saul to escape the city. and continue his teaching of Jesus Christ. This indicates that over the 3 years, Saul was making a difference for the cause of Christ there in Damascus. In his presence there and preaching were hurting the Jews. But the other believers, namely those who were closer to Saul's teaching, man, they devised a plan to get Saul out of the situation. Listen, sometimes it's okay for us to escape unhealthy conflict. The conflict is good when there's going to be some kind of agreement for healthy purposes. Somebody wanting to assassinate you probably needs to escape. Not a healthy result. Verse 25, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. So Damascus had walls around it, and much like other cities of that period, there were houses along the walls, a thick wall roof where the military could walk around on the very top of it. There were houses there built into the wall. So either this is a window of a house that they let Saul down in a basket to go to the ground to flee for safety, or it was some obscure hole in the wall that you couldn't really see from the street. Either one, that's beside the point, but just to give us an idea of how this took place. So Saul is lowered along the wall in a basket at night. He avoids sure death by the assassins who were waiting by the gates for him if he tried to leave. So the Lord spared Saul's life in this very hostile environment that erupted among the Jews. Listen, sometimes we think that we need to stand and fight all the time when there's conflict about even over our faith, even our stance for Christ, that we just want to argue with people. No, that really can be silly. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to us in Timothy that we ought not to sit there and have these foolish arguments with people over things that really don't matter. And that seems to be the biggest thing of arguments. It's silly stuff. And Paul tells Timothy, don't get caught up in all that stuff. Well, boy, we think we got to stand our ground and fight. Listen, Jesus, when things were hostile, even Jesus escaped when nobody was looking. Paul here, Saul, escaped for his life. Why? Because God had more for him to do. Sometimes we can do more harm, not only to ourselves, but to others, or for the cause of Christ, if we stand there and put up a big fight and make ourselves look like a fool. There are times, and we need to be walking with the Lord, when it's okay for us to engage in a healthy, responsible conversation, even into a conflict. But then there are other times that we need to say, look, you know what? Not worth it. I'm gone. And just slip on out. It's not that you're a loser. You just see the devil working in the situation, and you're wise enough to walk away, knowing that the Lord will bring them back again at a different time. So Saul left for Jerusalem. Think about it. When Saul left Jerusalem the first time, he left as the killer of the saints. Now he's on his way back as a saint, threatened to be killed. Saul had learned firsthand what it's like to walk with Jesus in some tough places. And may we learn some things for us to do as we walk this life, knowing that we will walk through some tough places. Here's a few takeaways for you, and we're closing. First one is this. When we're converted to Christ, it changes us from the inside out. When you are saved and born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And man, he's working to sweep out the old and bring in the new. And that is a process that will last the rest of your life. Second thing I'll take away for us. We must be believers who pray, who study the word, who fellowship with other believers, who witness for Christ, and then take time to rest and to be refreshed. And repeat that many times throughout our lives. We must be people who pray. We must be people who study God's word. We must be people who fellowship with other believers. We are to be believers who witness for Christ. Paul teaches us that. We also must be believers who take time to rest and to be refreshed. And then we need to do this on a repetitious basis. Because you went on vacation this year and you got a good bit of rest, don't wait 5, 6, 7, 8 years to do it again. It needs to be repeated. Even if it's a day or a couple of days or a week or a weekend, whatever it may be. A third thing we see here, a little takeaway, is there will be people who reject us because of our walk in Christ. Get used to it. There'll be people who will reject you. Maybe it's family. Some people may not go to your house this holiday season because you're staying in faith. This might. They may not come. There will be people who reject you. There'll be people at work who make fun of you. There'll be people at school who make fun of you. The fourth thing, it's okay to walk away from people who exhibit hostility, hatred, bitterness, or man, just some vile behavior toward you because of your faith. They just don't like you because you're a Christian. They don't like some stance that you have, but you know that's what God would have you believe, and that's what the Bible teaches, and they don't like you for it. Get used to it. Don't worry about what people think about you. Worry about what God thinks about you. And the last thing is, last takeaway, there are times we need a fresh start somewhere else. At the back of the wall there, you'll see something, the Church for New Beginnings. I always like for people to understand is when you come here, we're not judging you. You come here because you need a fresh start somewhere. Maybe some things somewhere else didn't go right. Maybe some things elsewhere didn't happen. But we know this as we're getting taught God's word verse by verse. We're around people who are broken, people who are struggling just like we are. We're all imperfect. We're walking through life, and we can walk through life together, learning degree by degree how to live this life for Christ. And we need each other to support one another. Sometimes it's okay to be elsewhere for a new beginning. Just some takeaways for us. As we see what Saul went through, man, let that be a reflection for some things that even we may go through. Let's pray together. Father God, walking through tough places in this life, God, oftentimes there's no easy answer. God, we always want things to go smooth in our life. We like peace. Father, we like to know that we're doing the very best that we can, and others appreciate that. That we want to walk with you and Lord, have a little piece of heaven on earth. But we also know, God, that our faith comes by going through the difficult times. Our faith is strengthened, our faith grows when it's challenged and exercised. God, that comes through the troubles and the trials and the challenges of life. We see from Saul, even in that early years the challenges he's facing. God, we even looked at all the things that you brought into his life over the years. All for the cause of Christ. And God, there's some suffering that we have to do. It may be personal, it may be relational, it may be things that we go through that we just don't understand, and we ask why. God, quiet our soul to be obedient to you so that you can shine through us. Lord, help us to walk this life with you through difficult places. In Jesus' name, amen.